We're going to turn now and taste some of our God's sweet words to us this evening. And we have two readings. The first is from Romans, and then we're in Ephesians. So Romans 1. Romans 1, and if you also want to look up Ephesians 4 and put your bookmark in there, we'll turn there next. So, Romans 1, we're going to pick up the reading at verse 28 and read through to the end of the chapter. And here we're in that section of Romans where Paul is declaring the universal guilt of mankind, that everyone is guilty and is in need of a Saviour. And hopefully it'll become clear later on why we've actually read this portion. So Romans 1 from verse 28. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. And now we turn with me to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 17 to 29. And in many ways, this is a contrast to the passage that we just read. A contrast that is possible by the grace of God. So Ephesians 4, from verse 17 through to 29. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And now Paul goes on to speak to us of what it looks like to put off the old self and put on the new self. And he says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thieves no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So far, the reading. Congregation, what has no wings but can fly thousands of kilometers? It's got no wings but can fly tens of thousands of kilometers effortlessly and speedily. It's words. Words travel quickly. You know, information can travel really quickly around the congregation. You don't even have to put it in the bulletin and everyone knows about it. And you know, in the Reformed churches, we talk about the Reformed church grapevine. So something happened up there in Hastings and like we all know about it. There's no email that's even gone around. It's amazing. Now, there's something good about information sharing, but we know also that there's a sinful type of information sharing as well. The kind of information sharing that we wish didn't have wings. And I'm talking here about gossip. Gossip, I think we discover, seems to have the fastest wings of all of our words. And it's good that we reflect on the use of our tongues and whether we have a difficulty with gossip. Now, as a way of introduction, we're dealing with the ninth commandment, which is about not giving false testimony. So why are we talking about gossip then? Well, you understand that the commandments give us kind of one illustration of a whole family of sins that we ought not to commit. So, and when the commandment tells us that we ought to honor our parents, it's just one example of a whole family of teaching about honoring those in authority over us, whether that be parents or teachers or elders or whatever. And so same here with the ninth commandment. It gives us one prohibition: don't give false testimony, and that covers a whole family of sinful speech that we ought not to commit. And part of that family, of course, is the sin of gossip. That's one form of sinful speech to be avoided, that's prohibited by the commandment. So firstly, let's try and define gossip. Let's try and define gossip. Is it gossip if I share with someone, a friend of mine, a certain struggle that my child is having? Is it gossip if someone in the congregation tells me something and I go and talk to another elder about it? Is it gossip if you're struggling ministering to someone and you go and talk to someone else and ask them to pray for you about that issue that you're ministering into? Gossip is not always easy to define. What is gossip? There's actually different types of gossip. One type of gossip is passing on information that is unsubstantiated. So you don't know really whether it's true or not. We shouldn't pass on information that does not come from a reputable source, which is probably like half those emails that gets those circulars that go around. It's got to come from a reputable source. So the information you find out about Robbie, which you heard from Susan, who heard it from Dennis in the finance department, who happens to know Peter, who's a second cousin of Robbie, if it's not from a reputable source, we shouldn't pass on that information. Now, clearly, gossip involves passing on false information about someone. You know it's false and you pass it on. That's ruled out as well. But the difficulty in defining gossip is that it usually involves passing on information that is 100% true and accurate. It's not passing on error. It's not passing on things that are unsubstantiated. It's passing on information that is correct. And if you think about a definition of gossip, it actually helps to know that the Greek word literally translated a gossip means whisperer. Right? So if you're remembering sitting around the table with the kids at home and one of the kids goes, psst, psst, and they're whispering to their friend, why do they whisper to their brother or sister? Because they don't want anyone else to hear it. They're talking about someone else and they don't want that person to hear. And that's what gossip is. We're talking about someone else behind their back because we don't want them to hear what we're saying. We wouldn't say that thing in front of them. Now, how is gossip usually presented? It's not usually presented as, well, I've got this juicy bit of gossip and I'm just going to tell you all about it now. You know, you should be on high alert that some gossip is coming your way if someone introduces their statement, have you heard what so-and-so did? Or perhaps, I know you'll keep this to yourself so I can tell you about it. Or, I'm not sure this is true, but I heard that so-and-so, or perhaps the Christianized version, I have to tell you about so-and-so so you can just pray for them, you know. You know, gossip is listed as one of the marks of the lifestyle of the person who's rejected God. That's what we read in Romans 1, didn't we? Those who've stopped worshiping the Creator and they're worshiping the creation, God hands them over to do what ought not to be done. And one of the sins that marks their lifestyle, and so it marks their lifestyle, it's a defining sin, is the sin of gossip. That's what we read. It so marks their lifestyle that they can be defined as gossipers. Now, this of course shouldn't be the case for those who've experienced the redeeming power of God, for those who have the Spirit indwelling them. When we gossip as Christians, we're actually acting against our nature. We're acting against who we are. We are not speaking our native language, because our native language is not to sin with our speech. We're not speaking our native language. The words should feel foreign on our tongues. It's like you guys trying to bung on an Australian accent. It just feels wrong. That's what gossip should feel like on our tongues. It should feel wrong. So that's a definition of gossip. Now let's consider the appeal of gossip. There is, it seems, an appeal to passing on gossip. Now we're going to have a look at a couple of proverbs. So if you've got your Bible there, please open to the book of Proverbs. And I want you to turn to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. And we're going to read verse 8. Proverbs 18, verse 8. The words of a whisperer, a gossip, are like delicious morsels. They go down to the inner parts of the body. So gossip's like delicious food. It's like your favorite ice cream, or your mum's lamb roast that you love so much. Or you smell the KFC that you go past and it's just so alluring. You want to go in for the secret herbs and spices. And when you take a bite of these things, you know, all the taste buds are firing and it gives you that happy feeling to eat that food. It's a delicious morsel. That's what gossip is a bit like. Why does it taste so good? Well, let me suggest a few reasons. It tastes good because it gives us a sense of superiority over the person that we're gossiping about. Did you know that so-and-so wets the bed? Did you know that so-and-so was interviewed by the police because of what they did? Did you know that she lost her temper in the school car park and she went absolutely off her nut? And if I don't wet the bed and I don't get interviewed by the police and I don't go off my nut in the school car park, then I feel superior to that other person. That's the tasty morsel. I can feel better about myself because they're so bad and I've been able to hear about it. By tearing them down, I can feel good about myself. Isn't that sad? It's so sad. We want to feel good about ourselves by destroying the reputation of another person. Why not rather feel good about ourselves because we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ? We're blessed with every spiritual riches in Him. Then there's no moral superiority over others, is there? There's no need to tear someone down. Now, another reason it can taste so good is because it can give us a sense of belonging. We feel like we belong. We've got the inside scoop on someone else, and therefore we have a sense of being in the know. And you know, when you share a secret with someone, there's this camaraderie that develops, isn't there? It's not a fellowship of the ring, but it's like this fellowship of the secret. You know, just you and them, and you know the secret. You're in on the message, and so we feel like we're part of things because we know what so and so got up to with their boyfriend, or we hear about what so and so is struggling about, or we know about so and so's marriage and things aren't going so well there, and it's a tasty morsel because it gives us the sense of belonging, and again, how sad that our belonging comes from dragging someone else's reputation through the mud. Why does any of us belong in the church, in the family of God? Well, because we've been made spiritual family through Jesus Christ. This is where we look for our belonging, not by sharing secrets about each other. Now, the proverb says that these tasty morsels go down to the inward parts, the inward parts. And the idea here is that gossip goes down, you know, into the depths of who you are. So the proverb is telling us that gossip can influence us in a very deep place. And when you hear something about somebody else, you can't unhear what a person has told you. You might look at that other person in a completely different way because you've heard some gossip about them. You might even treat them differently because of what you heard about them. Gossip, whether it's true or whether it's unsubstantiated rumor or falsehood, can affect our treatment of another person. It goes down into the inner parts, and that's why it can be so dangerous, so utterly dangerous and destructive. And that actually leads us to a third point, some of the results of gossip. Gossip is particularly damaging because it destroys the unity of the church. Gossip is anti-harmony and anti-unity, and therefore it is anti-gospel. And we understand, don't we, that Jesus Christ came to take people who are at enmity with one another and to make them one, to make the two one, to make one man. Being saved is not just about you and Jesus. Being saved is about you and Jesus, but it's also about you and Jesus' people. The Bible repeatedly stresses that for us in so many places, in so many different ways. Jesus saves individuals, and he saves us as individuals into a family, into the family of God, into the church. And as a church, we're meant to live together in unity and harmony. Gossip destroys that. Have a look at Proverbs 16, verse 28. Proverbs 16, verse 28. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer, a gossip, separates close friends. The idea there, gossip drives a wedge between people. And the more gossip there is in a church, the more wedges it drives between people in a congregation. Gossip creates an atmosphere of distrust. If you share something negative about yourself and you think it's going to be passed around to everyone else, what are you going to share about yourself? Are you going to stop sharing anything? Or you might even share false information so people get a certain kind of impression of who you are. You pretend to be something you're not. When there's trust within a congregation, when we trust each other, we can be more open with what we share. Spies are constantly assessing their environment because they need to suss out, well, is anyone else here a spy? Is anyone else up to something? And what happens in a church, if there's too much gossip, we become suspicious of other people. You're wondering, what are they saying behind my back? What a horrible way to live, congregation, that gossip would make us suspicious of one another. We're wondering what little secrets are being traded about us. Now, gossip also creates disunity because it makes people take sides. It forces you to take sides on an issue. So imagine someone comes to you and says, I had a really bad home visit with Andrew. He came to my house and he rebuked me for being lazy in my spiritual disciplines. He asked far too many personal questions and he overstayed his welcome. I didn't get him out until 10:30. And all that might be true, but you should be talking to me about that if that's true and you have a problem with it. Now, what gossip does is it forces the person that you've just told this to take sides. Either they have to take my side and say, oh, that doesn't sound like Andrew, surely not. Or they have to take your side and say, yeah, Andrew, terrible, terrible minister. No one him at home visiting again. And there's a wedge. Two people are separated because they had to take sides. But in the church, how many sides are there? Just one. On the side of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not meant to be putting these wedges in here. On the same side. That's why we need to go and work things out if we have a problem with somebody. Our fourth point this evening is dealing with gossip. I assume that as Christians, we're on the same page that we are against gossip. Against gossip? Good. We're against gossip. Gossip is wrong. We want to use our speech in a way that honors Christ and is good for the health of the church. So what can we do? Well, here's a few practical suggestions. First, some practical helps to the gossiper. What do you need to do? Well, firstly, you need to think about the person you're gossiping about. You've got some information that you're itching to pass on, or perhaps you're not actually sure whether you should be sharing this information. Now, just imagine that the person you're talking about is right there when you're passing on this information. How would they feel? Would they feel embarrassed, angry, hurt? Would they need to step in and correct what you're saying about them? We need to think about, would they be comfortable with me sharing this information? Also, ask, what is the person I'm sharing this gossip with, what are they going to be able to do with the information that I give them? Will they be able to contribute positively to whatever the situation is? Or is the only thing they can do either park that information, you know, somewhere or pass it on to someone else? That's why there are some grey areas here. Because sometimes I need to share something with an elder who is part of the solution to the problem. So if I find out a pastoral issue, I don't go and share it with the whole session, but I might share it with another elder who can speak into the situation and get alongside a person. Sometimes you might not know what to do about a certain situation and you might need to seek some counsel on it. There's wisdom needed here in relation to what we share. But the principle is we all need to ensure that the person we share information with has the capacity to help in some way. We're not just passing something on for the sake of it. Now, secondly, some practical helps to the person on the receiving end of gossip. Spurgeon once said, if there were no gratified hearers of ill reports, there would be an end of the trade to spreading them. The way to stop the gossip trade is not to listen to someone who gossips. Have a look at Proverbs 26:20. Proverbs 26, verse 20. For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. So we're not meant to be the wood that allows the fires of gossip to continue to burn. How do you make sure you aren't that? Well, here's a few things you could try. When someone says to you, I've got something to share about Johnny, if you're about to hear what you think might be gossip, you say to them, you know, before you tell me, I just want to make sure, have you talked to Johnny about this? Causes them to reflect. Or you could try the gentle challenge approach and just ask someone, what's the reason that you're sharing this with me? Or you could challenge them a little bit further if you can't kind of cut them off at the pass, and you could say, now that you've shared this with me about Johnny, it sounds like you need to go and talk to Johnny about that. When are you going to do that? And then the next time you see them, you ask them, have you spoken to Johnny yet? I tell you what, they'll never come and share gossip with you again. You hold a person accountable. Or you could try the very direct approach when you think it's gossip and say, brother or sister, I have to interrupt you because what you're saying to me sounds like gossip. Now, it doesn't really matter how you do it. The point is, if there's no one to listen to gossip, gossip stops, right? Now, finally, let's consider the gospel and gossip. The gospel and gossip. How does the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, fit into all this? Well, firstly, there is the good news of forgiveness, isn't there, for those who've passed on gossip about brothers and sisters in the Lord. Who doesn't need the good news of forgiveness for what we've said about our brothers and sisters in the Lord? I think there's a universal need for the gospel here. The good news of our Savior is that he's borne upon his body on the tree our sins of gossip, along with all the heart sins that are behind it, our envy, our self-righteousness, our jealousy. There's forgiveness. And we need to look to our Savior and confess our sins of gossip and receive his forgiveness. One of the beautiful things about our Savior is he doesn't pass on negative information about us. He knows it all, doesn't he? And boy, would he have a lot to gossip about, right? But he doesn't go around sharing it with a third party, drawing it to the attention of others. He doesn't whisper our sins to the world. And when the devil comes and whispers those sins to us again and again, the gospel reminds us that they're all paid for. There is a Saviour in whom we find forgiveness and the assurance that he'll keep our confidences. Secondly, there's the good news of repentance. The Christian life, we know, is always the pattern of faith and repentance. Trust in Christ and the pardon that he offers us, but also the repentance, the turning from sin, from the path of gossip. And part of that might involve going to another person you've gossiped about and seeking their forgiveness. Have you ever done that? Have you ever repented of the sin of gossip by going to someone and saying to them, look, brother, I've got a confession to make. I gossiped about you to someone else and I shouldn't have said what I said. Would you please forgive me? Now, I suggest that would be a pathway that would build trust in the congregation as we come to be open about the need to confess our sins to each other. Now, thirdly, there's the good news of new life in Christ in the gospel. The Christian life, we know, and I've said it repeatedly, is not just about not doing stuff. Christian life is not just about you can't do this, you can't go there, you can't have that, don't touch that. The Christian life is about putting on new patterns of behavior, new patterns of thought, new patterns of speech. And when we're born again in Christ, that's what he does. He makes us new. And then we begin to live the new lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. And part of that is the Holy Spirit is at work in us, enabling us to speak well of each other, not to pass on gossip, but to speak well of each other, to speak in ways that bring life and hope and healing and unity. We've got wonderful, tasty morsels we can dish up to each other. Every time we're together, we can say wonderful things about each other. We can talk about the virtues that we see in other believers. Instead of talking about the bad things we see, talk about the virtues we see in them. We can talk about the ways that we can see Christ at work in his people here in the Reformed Church of Dovedale. Passing on information about the caring nature or the faithful service of another brother or sister. Finally, we've got a wonderful message about someone to share with everyone we have in contact with, don't we? The message of Jesus Christ crucified and risen. We're to be a people who gossip the gospel, aren't we? And may it be that these are the kinds of words that wing their way around this congregation constantly. Amen.